With Tech News Briefing, I'm Tanya Bustos in the newsroom in New York. Coming up, new details about Facebook's latest purge of bad actors on its site. It's dismantled a new set of influence campaigns originating in Iran and Russia, what we know. But first, these tech headlines. Uber has deemed Nelson Chai its first CFO in more than 3 years, tapping a veteran banking exec as next year's planned IPO looms. The appointment is a crucial one. Uber's finances need shoring up as it still operates deep in the red. Investors have valued Uber at around $70 billion, the highest of any private tech company in the world. Doors are opening for makers of keyless locks, companies that manufacture smart locks, which can be opened with a cell phone app or code, and sometimes include cameras and intercoms, are battling to edge out traditional locks. In the latest sign of interest in the sector, Latchable Inc., which sells latch digital lock systems for multi-unit buildings, has raised $70 million as part of a funding round that values the company at more than $250 million. As part of the deal, Latch will have its products installed in Brookfield's multifamily properties, and the Journal says most of the growth in the digital lock sector has been fueled by online retailers and apartment owners seeking to lower the costs of delivering packages or offer an amenity to tenants. And New York City tries something different, as it does. The New York Public Library takes a novel approach, by posting books to Instagram. The service, dubbed InstaNovels, will be available to users of the photo and video sharing platform. The Journal's Charles Passy writes that the idea is to use Instagram to promote reading in general. It also aims to show that libraries are changing with the times and fully adapting to the digital era. Coming up, Facebook pulls accounts from Iran and Russia for peddling misinformation, the latest on its newfound approach to finding and stamping out fake activity. Facebook has dismantled a new set of influence campaigns originating in Iran and Russia that were designed to sow division in global politics. It's all part of Facebook's broader purge of bad actors on its site. Let's find out what we know. Joining us from our San Francisco bureau with more is the Wall Street Journal's Deepa Seetharaman. Hey.
Hey, hello, hello.
So we learned from your latest reporting that Facebook has been doing what it can to, you know, sniff out these bad actors for quite some time. We've talked before about how Facebook has dismantled accounts. Now we get a little bit more of the specifics. So what were we able to learn about these bad actors?
So Tuesday, Facebook announced this very hastily arranged conference call. It was the end of a day, end of a very busy news day. And they said that they had uncovered about 652 pages, groups, and accounts tied to Iran. They got a tip from an outside cybersecurity firm called FireEye, and FireEye notified them of a set of pages that were tied to Iranian state media. And from there, Facebook was able to find other accounts. And separately, they also found some unspecified number of pages tied to Russia. They didn't give a number for that, but everything was taken down. So what we found out on Tuesday was that the information influence campaigns that we saw Russia conduct in the run-up to the election, that Iran was doing something similar during, in parallel. With a couple of key differences, the Iranian pages weren't as well followed. They bought, I think, collectively about $12,000 in ads, which through Australian and American dollars. They posted a lot of the same type of content, though, divisive political content all over the world. They were not solely focused on the U.S. They were in the U.K., and so there were Brexit posts. They focused a lot on Syria. They focused a lot on sort of divisive Middle Eastern issues. So it was a global campaign, but it bears a lot of the same hallmarks as the Russian campaign and what we saw during the election here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And on this call, Mark Zuckerberg also addressed that this has been going on for quite some time, and it's harder than you might think. You know, I do imagine it's difficult for a tech company to feel this kind of new situation out.
Yeah, and if you think about it, 652 accounts. 2 billion accounts are on Facebook,
right?
Monthly accounts. Those are just the monthly actives. These are just people or accounts that log in once a month. There might be many more other types of accounts that are dormant for months at a time. So I think it's important to put it in context, that this is a small fraction of what is on Facebook. Having said that, this is a company that has vowed to ferret the stuff out, to find it, to stamp it out, to make it harder to do these kinds of campaigns on the platform. And so, it's interesting. One thing that they mentioned on the call, one thing that Mark mentioned on the call, that it was as important for Facebook to develop its internal resources to be able to spot these kinds of accounts as it was for it to develop outside partnerships. They're really leaning on outside partners to help tip them off to potential bad actors and activity on the site. So FireEye is one important partner in this. The Atlantic Council, they're another really important partner. They've helped Facebook detect Russian activity, including the campaign announced this week. And, they're really looking, they're trying to draw from a larger body of expertise than just their own employees.
Right. Does Facebook, as it improves, using the tools that it has and continuing to feel this process out, I get a sense that this might just be the beginning. It's a very small fraction, and we really just are in the early stages.
Yep, we are. I mean, and I think last month, Facebook officials, when they were uncovering another influence campaign, this one much smaller, about 32 pages, they said, we have a lot of ongoing investigations, and we expect to find more, and we think we will. So, and they reiterated that message this week. There is a lot more of this out there. 652 out of 2 billion. When you put it in that kind of perspective,
right.
There's a lot more left to find.
Wall Street Journal reporter Deepa Seetharaman, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
And that is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos at The Wall Street Journal.